Hello, welcome to Sundays at the Station. I'm John Sherburn.
I am Justin Ketchai.
And we're just here. We're with you guys today. Per usual, it is quite the day. It's raining out.
Yeah.
I love when it rains. You can't see it, but I swear.
Do too.
It's a little bit of a rainy day, gloomy,
mm-hmm.
blustery.
Mm-hmm.
On rainy days, I always think about, like, everyone always feels very calm, relaxed. Stay inside, read a book, get under a blanket.
You're allowed to be lazy.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
I always think about why. I think on a surface level, it's like you literally can't go outside, so you're just kind of chilling at the house if you know something to do. More so, though, I even think about, like, caveman times. This shit was
really?
The scary stuff, dude.
Yeah.
This was the stuff like rain is like, it's going to get everything wet. You might have a fire.
Mm-hmm.
You might die. So what do? You hunker down. You get under some blankets.
Yeah.
You're just like chilling. And I always think about that, like how how evolutionarily stuff that we do now kind of sometimes stems back to stuff like that. And I think it's really interesting.
I like that you mentioned that because I was wanting to talk about Quest for Fire, which we just
watched. Wow, funny. Wow, yeah.
We just watched that a few days ago. It is a 70s or 80s...
'70s.
French movie starring notably American actor Ron Perlman.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about a group of Neanderthals who... are keeping a flame, and they don't understand how fire really works. You open on them, and essentially they lose their flame, and they have to find a new one.
Yeah, so the tribe suffers heavy losses and is taken from their home, and they're kind of up in this bog. They don't know what they're doing, and so they have their three best hunters go out to find more fire.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, they interact with all manner of creatures. They've seen some foreign to them, different tribes. They encounter cannibals and Homo sapiens who have language and strange customs. And it's a really good movie. Has no real dialogue. Like, there's some dialogue, but it's not any language we know. It's like proto-French. So it's just kind of babble, but you still get so much out of it.
You could still see, I mean, nonverbal communication is very prominent.
So much more so than nowadays.
Exactly.
Because they had less words. Like, we have thousands and thousands of words now to describe everything. But there was a time where, like, I'd say, like, I'm just feeling so...
Mm-hmm.
And you'd know what that means kind of thing. It's very interesting.
Because your face is also, like...
Mm-hmm. There's the face, the body language,
yeah.
The context, as well as words. It's very... I always find the idea of language to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you know...
And... The cool thing about that movie, too, I won't spoil anything, really, but the cool thing about that movie...
Oh, fuck, I spilled coffee all over myself.
Oh, how great.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you good?
Christ. Yeah, I'm fine.
Wow, way to mess it up already. What time are we? Like, almost 5 minutes? Yeah.
It's all over my shirt.
Nice. The cool thing about that movie is that, realistically so, there's different species of Homo sapiens at the same time.
Easy on the wording.
Well, human beings.
Different species of human, different tribes
yes.
of Homo sapiens.
I was about to say humans.
Yes.
So I was like,
yes.
Isn't human Homo sapien, though? So it's...
yes.
Scientifically.
Scientifically, there are different tribes of proto-humans.
But as far as we're concerned, you know, you had Homo erectus,
yes.
Neanderthals, and Homo sapiens in that movie.
I think it's Homo erectus. It's never said. I'm pretty sure... I know Homo erectus were around. They kind of predate. The reason I'm thinking that is because Homo erectus kind of predates Homo sapiens and Neanderthals.
Mm-hmm.
So in the movie, that group was more ape-like. So it kind of makes sense. But at the same time, it also could just be poor science in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the movie was very forward, though. Very progressive. Back
yes.
in the day, back at that time, Neanderthals were seen as like stupid apes that had like... That were like...
Like in the science community?
In the world community. Like
yeah.
they were like monkey men. Like that's kind of like the stereotype. And in reality, Neanderthals were very advanced. They
mm-hmm.
had a lot of good stuff. They were intelligent with tools and...
They had tools. They were starting to communicate better.
Yeah. They had their own type of communication. And that's
right.
a huge thing we kind of do is like, since we kind of won, the only thing we really did better, really better... truly better was that we were just more social creatures and
mm-hmm.
so as a result we could just do more stuff. We look back at other, you know, Neanderthals were less verbal and so in our mind that makes them dumber because they didn't figure out language yet, But if we never came around, they'd be just as complex as us. They would just have a lot more hand signs and stuff like that than we did.
Yes.
We view ours as like the default or the best version of something. But I do think in reality, it was just different. They were different type of animal. It's really hard to think about because they're kind of like us. You're like, oh, the Neanderthals are kind of like humans, but they're not. Like, they communicated differently.
Yeah.
They acted differently.
It's interesting to think about what you could teach it versus what it just couldn't comprehend.
Yeah, the argument, and this is all theoretical, but they argue that you could teach a Homo sapien from 70,000 years ago banking.
Mm-hmm.
If you could, you could sit them down and you could teach banking, but you couldn't teach that to Neanderthal.
Yeah.
Because their brains work differently at a basic level. And so they would have a different, I'm always curious to see what a society would look like of Neanderthals, or if we had Homo sapiens and Neanderthals coexisting on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm very curious what that would look like. I think we'd have pockets, you know, certain areas of the world would be like, there's no humans there. There's Neanderthals and it's different cultures and stuff. You can go over there, but like, it's difficult because it's just so different.
It would be new racial tensions.
Racial tensions wouldn't even exist. Yeah, it'd be speciesism.
Special tensions, you know. It's interesting stuff. I love that concept of, you know, back in medieval times, so the Renaissance, you know, people thought same way as us. They just had less information, really. You know,
yeah, different
just
stuff.
Less people were ahead of them thinking to build off of the knowledge. So like,
but it's the same stuff,
exactly.
Same issues, same types of people. You had the same relationships, and there were different factors involved. Mm-hmm. But humans were humans.
Right.
I think about that too, because we think about it so differently. We're like, oh, 1700s, like early Americans were so different than we were. Like, really, they're fine. Like,
they wouldn't know what a radio is.
If Ben Franklin
looked in,
he'd be fine. We'd have to explain so much shit. He would be curious as hell.
Yeah.
But he'd chill.
Yeah.
He could chill. The hardest thing would be the language. They talk differently than we do now. By a lot.
Yeah, it's just, it was a lot more proper. There was more formality in language.
Yeah. Well, in certain words and ideas that don't exist anymore did then, and vice versa. But truly, again, yes, humans haven't changed all that much. We haven't evolved at all.
Mm-hmm.
We've had zero evolution since we figured out that we want to believe in God and have society.
Well, it's you know, we don't have to evolutionarily adapt with the environment, really. We have clothing to keep us warm.
It used to be if you lived in an area where you had the main food was apple trees and we weren't very good at climbing, over thousands and thousands of years, our hands would evolve to equip us better for climbing.
Right.
But then we invented ladders and now we don't need to do that ever again.
Yes.
And so we just kind of said, oh, evolution, who needs that? We can just build things to evolve for us.
Very interesting.
And I wonder if it was the right move. I mean, it doesn't matter, but...
Another part that I kept thinking about, which I may have brought up before, in regards to Quest for Fire and just the whole idea of mankind discovering fire, was 300 years ago, we discovered how to harness electricity, which I think was the biggest global discovery since fire.
Ooh, shit, that's a big one, man.
It's like everything that...
There's a few things, yeah, that could be... I think there's a few things that...
Just light is no longer an issue. You had to have a flame all the time if you wanted, like, oil lamps and all that. It makes things so much easier.
Uh-huh. You're right. I cannot see the argument, you know?
Yeah, it brings us to a certain place in the world today where you just, like, it makes room for so many other things.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And you can go the route of like,
there's so many
computers
things
and cell phones, but I'm talking more about just simply light bulbs and radio.
Mm-hmm.
And
light bulbs is interesting. Printing press is really big too. It's the first
they had
time
printing
we could
presses before electricity too.
I know, yeah.
But it revolutionized it.
Just because printing presses were so cool, because for the first time ever, you could have large scale production.
Mm-hmm.
So just things like information became so much more free knowledge.
Yeah.
As opposed to a scribe has to hand write every fucking copy of the Bible.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of Bibles. So what do? You have to rely on the church to tell you what says
just
in the Bible.
Monks.
Because there's only three Bibles in the whole town.
Working on one copy for 6 years.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And now it's like, oh, everyone can have a Bible for cheap.
Yeah.
I think that was huge just in terms of information and freedom. I think that was huge in terms of freedom. Because it gives you control, as opposed to reliance on another entity to say, this is what this means.
Right. I think it's interesting, too, that a lot of discoveries and inventions weren't invented by the person that we say they were. They just kind of revolutionized it and made it more accessible.
It's all building blocks, yeah.
The Gutenberg printing press. He wasn't the first guy to invent the printing press.
You know, but he was the guy to put everything together and make it in the way that became what it famous. Is. Yeah. Same with the cameras, Kodaks.
Yeah.
Like, Kodak, like, well, Eastman revolutionized cameras for...
Shout out Rochester.
Humans, for everybody.
Yeah.
But they existed for almost 100 years before that. Daguerreotypes were the first photos. Those things are insane, dude. Daguerreotypes are literally like... almost how like time-lapse photography works. Like, yeah. It's very interesting.
You just have to... it's like a painting, almost.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Sit. And those are just all, it's all about plates and negatives and things, and that's turned into eventually the photograph.
Yeah.
But it usually takes a dozen or so people to a dozen or so inventions minimum to create something. But those were all built on other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what humans do the best. I think that's our big thing, is that we are really good at just continually moving forward. And whether it's we think about that in terms of inventors, but also us, like every time we buy another phone, that is another thing. Then we are pushing forward history. If everyone stopped buying new phones and everyone just kept buying iPhone 10 and never bought another iPhone, eventually they'd stop making new cell phones.
Right.
And that'd be it. Because we don't want that. We want to continue. Everybody on the planet, we have I think it's instinctual, because we were like mid-level predators. And so we didn't have that sheer strength. We didn't have the sheer force. So we had to work together and build off of each other to overcome stuff. And so it's been built into our heads to like, constantly do better and more and
something new. Don't do the same thing
to make life easier. Yeah, because we want that, and I think that's going to eventually lead into, like we talk about singularity. We talked about robots. Like, eventually, that's where that's headed. I heard a really interesting thing once. Someone said that we aren't our species' entire purpose, like other species' purpose is to like eat and
survive,
fuck and die. Yeah. Our purpose is to build up to robots. Like, we're a cocoon for robots. And we spend thousands of years getting all the tech lined up. And in the next couple hundred years, we'll get to a point where technically, if we really wanted to, we could probably create robots that are almost the same as humans. And if we do that, then we die out. And we're like a cocoon species. And then that the robotic species that would come after us would spread farther. I don't know if we are and they are parasites, though. Or not, right? Should we do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if we're so curious, will Wendy do anything? If all of a sudden you take dying out of the equation, aging out of the equation, you take...
life.
But we're still making life. They're still alive. If you can make a truly synthetic brain that actually... Not mimics, but is. Mm-hmm. Creates synapses just like humans. If you've done that, you've created life. But you've removed the limitations of being a human life. And do we want to do that?
It's take away the organic... element.
Do you?
Yeah, it depends on what the makeup is.
It's based on how you view what life is. We view life as carbon-based natural life forms, like the planet, like the things we see. But what makes metal not natural? Just because we made it, it comes from the earth. All of it does. Everything we have comes from the earth.
We mold it.
Somehow.
And press it and heat it up.
So I think it's interesting.
Parallel. I was also going to bring up that kind of idea, less specific than robots.
Yes.
But I was on the train of thought that our form of evolution and, you know, the path that we're on as human beings is no longer about, you know, like you said, about picking the apples off the tree, getting certain hands for climbing better.
Yes.
It's about thinking completely. It's about mindset completely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more stress in the last couple of years, even on meditation and taking care of yourself, because now we know the size of the world. We know all the things that are going on in the world that we didn't. It's just so global today, especially with the internet. So it's interesting stuff to think about, that we've progressed and evolved past the point of physical growth. And there's probably physical growth in the brain in some capacity, maybe. I don't know exactly, but it's just mental growth at this point. It's
Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's that concept of basic life function, security.
Yep.
Then social status. and then it's self-actualization. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of in those last two couple arcs of the pyramid. I think Kurt Vonnegut quote from book Mother Night that I just read.
Yeah.
You will be judged on your art when you're dead.
100%.
When you're gone and the people you love are gone, there will be nothing to stand testament to you other than your art.
Yeah.
And art is of many things. Art is science, art is medicine. But like the stuff you, the shit you take out of your brain and put down somewhere tangible that will outlive human beings, or even the current ones, whether it's music or it's an essay or whatever, that is the only thing you'll be remembered by.
Right.
Because eventually you'll die, and your kids will die, and your grandkids will die. And by the time your grandkids and all your friends' grandkids and your family's grandchildren, they're all dead, nobody will remember you.
Yeah.
Except like for what you leave that's longer than that.
The movie Coco.
Never saw it. The Disney movie?
Pixar, yeah.
Is that the, or the, is that the one with the...
It's a good one. It's
one of the skeletons.
Dia de
and
los
shit?
Muertos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, so that's a really good Pixar movie. One of my favorites.
I've heard
in
amazing
recent years.
Things about
yeah.
it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. I'm not the... I don't watch a ton of animated movies.
He loves
but,
watching kids' movies. It's like this thing he does. You were watching the Teletubbies film the other day, right? Teletubbies
no,
film.
No.
Film. Not a movie. A film.
Hey, man, I had 62 on Rotten Tomatoes. Get 62. off my...
62.
yeah, but like Coco's up there for me with like Ratatouille.
Certified and... fresh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't think there's a single Pixar movie that's not certified fresh.
No, but like Justin Fresh.
Oh, yeah. That's funny, yeah. So yeah, I wanted to take a little bit of a sidestep. I'm gonna keep the ball.
1 second.
Okay.
We're talking too much to each other. Hi, listener. How are
oh,
you?
How are you doing?
Are you enjoying this episode?
Apologies for not checking in.
I feel like I've been looking more at Justin than I should. I miss you. I love you.
We hope that you're enjoying the podcast.
Do you have anything to say? No?
It's okay.
If you do, just hop in. We can go. So we can go at it. So
I'm thinking of like in like Dora or Blue's Clues. Like, where do you think it is?
Three? That's right. I said two. Three's right. You're like, damn it. I said two. Why don't you listen to me? Dora, shake your shoulders. Ah! So, sidestep me.
Sidestep. Rolling off of evolution. Evolution of music.
Yeah, bro. What about it, bro?
So, I was thinking a lot about...
Does that just make us musical notes?
I was talking about... a few music releases specifically this week, which are all hip hop, rap, whatever you call them, and it's just so different. And we, I feel like we've been talking like, because when we talk about rap or hip hop, it's
yeah.
it's a lot about how it's changed. I feel like we talk about that a lot.
We do. We have.
And it just seems like it's starting to. It's so commercialized that it's just. I feel like that's the last phase before. A music genre evolves or disappears either.
Dies, yeah.
yeah. Because this week we have Big Sean. Who's
the man
argued to be like one of the best rappers today.
What? Really? Who?
Well, he's like I was saying like a week ago maybe that like some people as a fourth, like there's the big three of like Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick.
Yeah.
You know? But if they had to throw a fourth in there,
getting
it's
old though, bro.
They are. J. Cole's like 35.
Not even like age-wise, but they're not.
Oh, yeah.
They're only the top because they're respected.
J. Cole's new album's called The Fall Off. Could be his last.
In, doubt it.
He said like 10 years ago, he's like, yeah, my last album will be called The Fall Off.
He could be a producer role only kind of thing.
He's
Rap's
been producing a lot.
Rap's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Rap has become a different thing. And so that's the last of the all of rap history is kind of coming to a close now and starting a new chapter. Like,
yeah.
what we know from the 80s and 90s up to now, like, I think that that generation of rappers is kind of the last of that group.
It
and
is.
What this is, I don't think we should even call it the same thing. It is still rap, technically, but it's just like rock, where, like, grunge was this new idea. Mm-hmm. It's like how grunge came in the 90s
yeah.
and changed rock music.
It's like...
changed it forever. Rock music is so
yeah.
different now. Indie rock, all the modern rock
yeah.
is different because of 90s like grunge and... how popular, not even just grunge got, but even just like, you know, those punk elements and stuff like that. The same exact thing happened to rap. Exactly the same thing.
I feel like indie is the most popular form of rock right now.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that stems from, right, it went from, you had like, you started with some of the grunge and punk movements, and then those turned into, like, those got really popular in the 2000s to where, like, the radio stations, the pop stations are playing, like, Blink-182 and stuff.
Yeah.
And it, and if you look at Sex Pistols to Blink-182, how different they are,
mm-hmm.
how much they almost, you could say bastardized if you're on the older end of that spectrum.
Sure.
Right? That's what's happening almost to rap now, too, where it's,
yeah.
it's become, it's a very commercial thing now. Pop hits all the time. But it's a different genre, but it's very, it's still the kind of, you can see the thread, but it's a different genre.
For sure.
And then what happens? It turns into like indie, and that's the popular yeah. thing. So rap's going to synthesize into some new genre that we haven't even seen yet.
That's what I was thinking about. Because,
noises, electronic noises.
Well, so it's so commercialized. You have people like, there's Big Sean who keeps it honest, I feel like. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm rapping. And then there's, these are all albums that are coming out tomorrow.
Yes.
Lil Durk,
woo.
Who I haven't really listened to at all. He was on that Drake song. And, you know, to me, he sounds kind of... His sound is very generic these days.
He looks like if Lil Wayne took a bath for too long, when he got out, there was like... he shed his skin. And then some creature took that skin and was wearing it like a human's.
That's weird.
Yep. Just based on that one Drake song. I don't know who he is otherwise. I don't care too much. No.
But that's the thing. What makes him stand out? Do I care about him as an artist?
Would you call him an artist?
Right.
I'm such a dick about rap music.
Well, no, because like...
I just have no respect for some of the young motherfuckers. I just really don't.
Well, that's the thing, though. Because Kanye West,
don't give me a boner on the camera, dude.
John loves his career and all that.
Best producer of all time.
Yeah, and I would agree.
That's a really big statement, but one of the best producers of all time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still talking just in like hip hop and all.
He's not even a good rapper.
Listen
to his rap.
His rapping adds to his sound.
That's recently, it's gotten worse too.
Yeah.
His last three albums have been horrible. Like in terms of his rap ability on Pablo, Ye, and then Jesus Is King, you've seen a huge drop off. Like listen to Ye. Listen to
he's focused a lot more on his production
saying.
Though.
Yeah.
His production is up.
His production is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just his rapping. I think he ran out of things to really rap about. And every album he talks about his laptop that got stolen by his cousin. He raps about some of the same threads, though.
Yeah.
Because he's started to be... I was listening to it yesterday, and I was like, what is he saying? He uses the word come four different times, and he's like, none of us would be here without come. I'm like, that's a weird line, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and I think about all the other rappers that are at the top and how much harder they work for their bars, it seems, than Kanye does. Because he's too famous. He doesn't have to work ever. He will always top charts.
Yeah.
This is his eighth.
Same with
Jesus
Drake.
King was his eighth chart-topping album in a row.
Yeah.
So he's good. So he's kind of lost the hunger.
His
production's amazing, but I think his rapping has lost
his image.
Hunger.
He's like, oh, what's Kanye saying on this album?
Yes.
So everybody
But I think his actual words are hilarious nowadays. They've been hilarious for a few years, too.
But so, Lil Durk.
Sorry about that.
He's just, generic kind of seeming. He's got the auto tune. I think one of the best people to come out of like this whole new era is Roddy Ricch. He's interesting.
Couldn't tell you too much.
Yeah,
I like the songs he's been on.
He
though.
Sings a lot, and it's the whole thing.
He seems interesting.
So out of all those people, he seems interesting. But Lil Durk to me is like, and that's one of them. And then you have other people that are fully taking the commercialism by the horns, like 6ix9ine. That's another album that's coming out tomorrow.
6ix9ine.
Yeah, so like it's just you and like Big Sean's fading out. Lil Durk is kind of popular right now, and then 6ix9ine is just.
I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying. So
like,
it's
get
evolving.
At a party,
it's changing.
Right? Some of this music, some of this rap music. I get you're at parties like do, and the guy's just like yeah, right? Like,
yeah.
I get it, but like people, I'm gonna ask. People,
it's like 2000s.
If you're in your car.
Crunk.
If you're in your car
by
yourself, how the hell do you turn that music on?
Blicky got the ick.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
And like, and I see 2000s Trunk way more nostalgically just because I grew up.
But that's what it was.
And I just, a lot of it though, they're not even singing catchy hooks or anything.
Yeah.
It's just a good beat and there's a guy over the beat.
Yeah.
Making noises. And that's the difference. Even like with Crunk, like they're verses that have coherent stories to them.
Yeah.
And they're choruses that are catchy. And like even if it was really pop and really overproduced and stuff, there was like some level of meat. And I feel like some of the most popular stuff now has no meat at all.
Yeah.
It's literally just, it sounds good to your ears, but if you listen to what it's saying, well, it doesn't mean anything.
That's because the purpose of the genre is changing. It's not, yeah, it's not intended, like, and we've talked about, we're also at 25, so we should
wrap start up soon, to wrap up because yes,
of the cameras. Sorry. But, you know, we were talking about how, hot take, early 2010s, there were these artists coming out, J. Cole, Drake, Kendrick.
The big three. You're missing the big fourth one, though.
Big Sean.
No, Jay Sean.
Jay Sean. they were kind of the last, like, lyrical rappers that were, like, popular.
Down, down.
Right, the lyrical mastermind himself. And then it kind of trailed off, and people like Chance the Rapper and Saba and Smino and JID would be a lot more popular today if that was the norm, but now it's
Rachel
Murd and
Vic Mensa. Standing on a bridge, depressed.
Yeah.
He's depressed because he should be famous.
Yeah.
Ah. All right. Well, we went on a lot of ground today. Talked about cavemen and rap music and more.
We had a good theme of evolution, I think.
Yes, movement and change. Yes. You're right.
That's a good
Hell
one.
Hell yes.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Sundays at the Station.
We sure did. We're going to be dropping episodes every Sunday, so you just keep tuning in and we'll keep making them. And even if you don't tune in, we'll still make them because we're that bored.
We enjoy it.
Yeah, and we enjoy it. Yeah. That's what I was going to say too.
So,
thank you and have a nice rest of your day. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in.
Get out of this fucking shirt. Coffee everywhere. Oh, fuck.